Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, Wim Liu. Joining me on the podcast this week is a special guest, Jeff Rocky, director of photography with Open Gym. Jeff, aka the other Jeff, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Thanks for having me, Will.
I appreciate you. First off, okay, let's start with what you do. What was your role this past season with Open Gym? And just start from there.
Cool. So basically, I'm the director of photography for Open Gym. I shoot everything you see on an episode, pretty much. Sometimes there might be the odd day where we have someone else come in to help out. But I'm basically filming Open Gym. And then beginning of the season, I was also covering our social content for the team. So that just meant any photography, majority of photography that was coming out during games and then on off days as well. So there was lots of filming happening in Tampa.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were discussing beforehand, but your work schedule sounded quite hectic. And first off, you know, on behalf of all Raptor fans, huge thank you to you, the rest of the Raptors social team, because like, you know, the whole team was away, right? So like we all basically can only see the team at least behind the scenes sort of through your lens. So first off, a huge appreciation for what you do. And obviously with Open Gym, huge undertaking. Honestly, just take me through your routine on a game day, like from the start of it to the end of it, like what's going on for you? What are you doing at each step?
Yeah. So a game day, basically beginning of the season, I'd show up to the arena with my cart full of equipment and set up in a media room that we had where I'd be able to have my kind of computer station with an upload setup. So I'd be able to feed stuff back to Toronto kind of as I was shooting, whether it was like stills or video, and then head out to the parking lot and wait for the players to show up. So that would be a mix of shooting photography and video for Open Gym or any kind of like pre-game movie that Jeff would put together. Mm-hmm. And I'd be just like heading back to the room after that, uploading it, and then he'd be taking the footage and editing and then putting it out on social after that. So it was the cool part about it was the speed of how fast things got back to Toronto and how he was able to have them like pregame and I didn't have to edit. So taking a job away and having him do that really sped things up and allowed us to gather more content, which was great. But it was always a difficult to do both at the same time because you'd have the video camera in your hands and then I'd have the still camera on my hip on a satchel or a clip and I'd be able to just bounce between the two and then work that way. So basically that would be the pre-game and then I'd head to the court and sometimes locker room and get some shots of jerseys and then guys warming up, whether it be for Open Gym or more pre-game content coming out. And then next thing you know, it would be the anthem. And unfortunately I wasn't allowed to go on the court the way I used to be able to go on the court. So I wasn't able to get those like nice close-up, mm-hmm. dramatic slow-mo shots of guys listening to the anthem. And I'd kind of have to do that from behind another station that I had where I shot from. And basically at the beginning, I was kind of just stuck there the majority of the game. And that was fine because I was close to the bench. So I was able to gather shots of the guys during whistles and in game, and then capture content from the other end of the court and the near side. So it was great. And once we get in the first quarter, I basically shoot video for the first quarter and then stills for the second quarter and then stills for the third and then video for the fourth. So the tough thing about that is that something amazing might happen in the second or third and we wouldn't have it for, you know, on the video side of things, but we'd have it on this like photography side of things. So Open Gym changed in that sense where we weren't able to have a full game of content to be able to put in an episode. So basically we'd have Landicho pretty much shot us in the game. So he'd know that I'd be shooting video in the first quarter. He'd basically be marking down times in the game where certain plays would happen and know that we'd have them. And then he wouldn't have to do that in the second quarter or third quarter and then do that again in the fourth. So it was just you're just trying to like organize things so that you're just searching for less because the turnaround in the episodes was so quick. Mm-hmm. And then halftime would be uploading. So basically taking all those cards, photos, and video and uploading footage back to Toronto. And the connection was so fast in Tampa that it'd be like 10, 15 minutes and he'd have everything, which right. was really incredible. And then I'd basically started going through the photos that I'd taken, making selects so that they'd have the best stuff because tons of stuff was out of focus. And then they could just put that on social media like as soon as possible. But luckily they had a local photographer in the stands as well that was working with the social team. So they'd use their photos as well. So that definitely helped me.
And then a post game.
Yeah. So post game.
Now you're done.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, that part of the game. So I just kind of follow guys sometimes into the locker room if they won and get some of those moments that would happen. And then I'd have to go straight back to the room and I'm uploading footage right away and then getting ready for the post-game scrum. So I just shoot an alternate angle of the scrums that you probably saw back in Toronto so that we had our kind of profile feel that we've always done with post-game scrums for Open Gym. And then after that, I'd be uploading that footage. And once that was uploaded, then the night was usually wrapped up.
Yeah. I mean, first off, I'm exhausted just imagining all the jobs that you were doing. Cause you know, obviously pandemic forces everyone to sort of adjust. And obviously with the Raptors, it's like a prime case of that. And especially with what you do, but like, how does that compare to like what you would have typically done in Toronto, let's say with the full social team, with the full Open Gym team, everything like that? Like,
yeah. And Toronto, I was focused solely on Open Gym. So right. all those quarters where I would be shooting still photos in Tampa, I'd be shooting video. And like what we would do back then was we'd shoot slow-mo for certain quarters and real time for other quarters, basically so that we weren't shooting like too much information because the slow-mo eats up memory like crazy. But yeah, like a lot of things just got added basically in Tampa. So it's an interesting balance of just doing new things. So the whole photography side of things wasn't something I was overly familiar with, but mm-hmm. started to get a taste for it. And then in the bubble, I was doing a lot more and just really enjoyed learning about it and getting the opportunity to talk to local guys in Tampa that were the like NHL photographers. And they were, and guys in the bubble as well, they were all great. And they just were really cool about kind of helping you dial in settings and teach you a bit of the ropes. So it's the cool thing about it was that I was like always learning on both of those trips. So right. that was, I like that.
I always wanted to know what, in terms of your approach to like shooting game action, let's say like a big play happens, like a big dunk or whatever. Is your first instinct to sort of try to shoot the reactions of, because I'm assuming during gameplay you're mostly following the ball and following the action, but then let's say a big play happens, are you trying to, is your instinct trying to like go get some reaction shots of the bench, of the players on the court, of the teammates, like of the players who actually made the play. Like, take us through that, because obviously you only have one camera, right? So you have to prioritize. Ideally, you get all of that, but you know, obviously, you have to pick and choose.
Exactly. So sometimes, luckily, I was close to the bench majority of the time, so I'd be able to see them just out of the corner of my eye if they were freaking out. Then and it's happening on our end, I could go to them easily. And if it was the opposite end, I'd usually just stick to the hero because it's such a big swing to get to the bench that for me, like watching that, I'd find that distracting. So in the back of my mind, I'd want to shoot what I'd like to see. So in that sense, it really depends on the play. So if I do hear them, then I'd go to them. And if I didn't, then I'd just stick with our hero shot. But luckily, when I started doing all this, I got to spend about 7 years working in broadcast, shooting handheld camera position, basically in the exact same spot. So I got pretty comfortable with following and like being put in those situations like all the time. So it's just, it's pretty reactionary at this point.
Right. Now you were talking about earlier about you were in the bubble as well. How did this experience in Tampa, obviously you weren't in a bubble per se, but how did this sort of experience sort of compare to each other? And honestly, like, what did you draw from one experience that maybe helped you with the next one?
Well, the bubble changed everything. The bubble is where content started going back to Toronto, like, immediately. So they had their setup with Ethernet was incredible. So basically footage would be able to go back almost instantaneously, which is something that we never did. So on the road before the bubble, we would shoot and copy our footage to memory cards after the game. And it didn't need to go to Toronto because I'd have Landy Joe with me, and he was always like the keeper of the footage. And he'd be pretty much the first one working on it. So the bubble really changed that in terms of getting stuff back. So once Tampa happened, the hope was that the connection would be super fast, and luckily it was in Tampa. And then the other thing was that how would the road work? So the road was always, we were always going into the road a little blind, or I was, because you'd be searching for an internet connection and you'd be searching for like not a wireless one. You'd want to get Ethernet and have it be fast enough to get the stuff back in time so that they can put out like a pregame video or have the content as soon as possible. Cause once I get to a hotel, the connections are usually super slow and then you're behind getting stuff back. So the goal is always to find like the fastest connection. And that's what the bubble was like. It's like you were spoiled because we'd never operated like that. And then being able to do that. And then it was like, okay, we're going to go to Tampa and it's going to be this same setup with Andy and I, where he'd be in Toronto and I'd be trying to get stuff to him. It's like, if it's not fast, we're kind of going to really struggle with this. Like, what's our next step going to be? Are we going to send hard drives back and forth if it's slow, or are we going to find somewhere that has a great connection and do all the uploads there, which would have like been brutal because after a game, like, you'd have to go do that. But luckily the arena was super fast and even the practice facility that we worked out of was fairly quick. So every time I had something, I was able to get it back. But that was the biggest takeaway from like the bubble changing things. And like moving forward, it's like data can travel really fast now. So it's great.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the bubble itself as well, because I believe the reports were that I think every team that got to go to the bubble had, I think, an allotment of 50 some odd personnel from each team that was able to be sent. And I'm not sure if other teams were sending social teams or sending their versions of Open Gym. But what was that process like? Was that like, did you guys have to advocate for like, hey, this would be a great thing for us to be part of that 50, you know, man roster, I guess, to send down in terms of staff? Was that an easy discussion, or is that sort of almost just an assumption considering you guys are such an integral part of what it's like to consume Raptors content?
I think what happened with that was that every team was allowed one content person and basically one PR person. So once that was established, then it was trying to basically figure out who would go, and I ended up going.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So I wanted to ask you about sort of, I guess, this season. Obviously, the transition was very difficult, just obviously playing in a different city. From your side, I believe the team made the announcement that they were going to shift to Tampa and relocate to Tampa, at least for the first half of the season. Obviously played the whole season there. How much notice did that have? And honestly, like, how hectic was that period of just like the government says, you know, Canadian government says, we can't do this. You know, it's we can't host games in Toronto. Then you guys have to instantly pivot to Tampa. Like, what was that timeline like? Take us through that side, especially from a personal perspective.
For me, it was pretty short. It felt like about a week to kind of prepare and get ready to relocate. And I was kind of hoping we would just play half the season there at yeah. first, because it just felt like it was like, wow, this is a long time to be away from home. And but then yeah, it didn't work out like that. But yeah, the amount of time was pretty quick. It was a lot of like just kind of trying to figure everything out, and like the big thing was what to bring equipment wise and mm-hmm. and how all that would work. But in the end it all worked out. I ended up basically bringing like six pieces of luggage with me, and a lot of that being equipment, and then relocating.
Yeah, I mean, like, I imagine that's probably the same, you know, other people in the organization, their versions of equipment just within that sort of week, essentially, getting that packed up and stuff. So I guess you were like mostly operating out of the hotel and things like that. And, you know, did that help actually? Cause considering the practice facility was literally downstairs. I mean, like, you know, if you did stay at the hotel, like that could be I guess more convenient than even before going to OVO, for example.
Absolutely. At the beginning, I worked at the hotel. So being across from the facility was, it was incredible. Like back here, I live about 45 minutes away from Toronto. So in Tampa, everything was like 10 to 15 minutes max, including the airport. So just being able to be around in this compared to before paid, like it was super beneficial, because there was stuff that we might not have gotten before that. It was, I'd be in the gym and it's like, oh, this is happening. I just have to go down a flight of stairs and there we go. Like you're capturing something that you might not have, I definitely wouldn't have seen. So it definitely, in the end, living super close to the facility was a huge benefit, and being able to be around a lot more, I thought was really helped with having to capture multiple things, whether it was photography or video or just other shoots.
Right. And I wanted to ask you about sort of like how, I guess, Open Gym works with the players and sort of the interaction there. And we can talk about the season in a bit as well. But, you know, I think some of the my favorite memories from this year, unfortunately, weren't as much on the court. Let's be real. The Raptors had a bit of a down year, but there were still some really nice moments. And I think obviously, you know, the Open Gym moments, a few of them really stand out. You had Fred's 54-point game, and you guys, I think you were in the locker room, you know, capturing the scenes there, you know, the team surprising Fred with a water bottle shower kind of thing, and then Kyle giving the game ball and the speech. And another one, I think, was obviously Freddie Gillespie and Malachi Flynn having to do that rookie duty thing and singing Party in the USA. When a moment like that happens, like, are the players like coming to you and be like, yo, Jeff, or you know, like, get the camera ready, we're about to do this, like, are they kind of keeping you up sort of in step with all that, because they obviously want some of these things to be captured, or is that mostly instinct on your end, just or maybe a combination of both?
It's a little bit of all of the above, and also PR. So okay, with say Fred, it would be like Jen Quinn be saying, hey, this is going to happen, like, make sure you're in there. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Awesome, thanks. So just head in the arena, in the locker room, and just basically stand by and try, and also looking at that situation, figure out what's the best way to shoot this that it'll like look cool. So mm-hmm. it's like, oh, I'll try and follow him or do this. And like, everything's kind of racing through your head and you're like, he's coming at any second. And then boom, he shows up, and it was just like, that was a really cool moment. I basically like had wanted to be excited with them, but you just always have to keep the camera still. So that's kind of one of the parts of the job where you just don't, you don't ever get to celebrate in the moment really, but I'm used to it now.
Yeah. I was going to say, cause you picked a really good camera shot. Cause I believe you had the camera panned facing the hallway. So you can see Fred walking closer and closer, but you can also see a little bit what was happening inside the locker room. And I believe Kyle and Malachi hid like behind the door with the water bottles. And it's just a hilarious still of Malachi look, because Malachi has like a dead serious face. So just seeing them sort of like load up and wait for Fred was just hilarious. That was a great moment. And then, you know, the other moment with the rookies singing and everything like that. I mean, obviously that sounds like that was just post-practice, you know. Kyle comes over with the rookie, you know, duties and stuff like that. And I guess you're just on scene and
yeah. I mean, so I was at majority of the practices and that one, I was actually lucky to have Sohil there at that point. So he was able to capture another angle. So we were kind of able to basically shoot in opposite directions where one of us was shooting Freddie and then the other was shooting all the rest of the players to have like the reaction of the guys. And that was a really fun moment. He's probably one of the most like adorable guys I've ever met. I don't know if I should have said that, but he was great. Even the second that I met him when we were in Cleveland, he got out of the car and I just introduced myself. I'm like, this is what I do. You can see a lot of me. And I'm like, if you wouldn't mind, I'm just going to follow you just like towards your room. And he's like, come in if you want. And I was like, okay. And then he just started talking and it was just a really cool moment. So I just kind of in his room hanging out and listening to him talk about like the process and his day. And I didn't really have to do much. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think that every single time you had a camera on Freddie, whether that was even like something which can get mundane, let's be real, like a practice interview or post game interview can get kind of mundane sometimes, but Freddie was kind of must watch every single time. He just brought like such incredible energy to like every interaction that you saw, you know, like it was real adorable. Like, as you mentioned, like, I think adorable was the right way to describe it. Cause I think at some point someone mentioned about, was asking some basketball question about, you know, the Knicks defense and sort of like, how they're playing it or how the Raptors are guarding or something like that. Basically, like, it's just a regular basketball question. He's like, well, I can't really tell you about that. I mean, like, that would be giving away our schemes. And he was checking with JQ, like, can I say this on camera? Yeah. Freddie was great in that sense. So, So I want to ask you about the season. You know, it was obviously a huge change from how successful they were in previous years. Kind of, we can see this as sort of a blip. What was the mood like around the team, you know, in terms of when you're around the team as much as anybody, what was the mood like around the team? Did you feel like the vibe was a little bit different or is it still kind of the same? It's just the results weren't the same.
There was always hope, like right until the end. And it was awesome. It was really cool to see how just everyone stayed positive. And a lot of people, they just felt that we were still going to slide in, and it was cool to be a part of that, because it would have just like being around a different type of energy in that circumstance. It's always tough to shoot and it that would bring kind of, you know, all of us down the way we operate. So that I found motivating, and it always kind of made me want to try to, you know, shoot better or like stay, be like, I can't let, you know, just because like a team's losing, you can't change the way you operate as a shooter or like the content that you're trying to gather. You always have to try to put up like and capture like the best stuff that you can. So that I found that was the vibe was good, and it was awesome to be around that, even though like the circumstance wasn't working out so well.
Yeah, for sure. Because I was going to ask you, like, does that change how you tell the stories, like, in terms of, like, digging for a storyline? Because there were, you know, there were stretches in the season where it was really dark. Maybe, like, the 2-8 start was pretty bad. Obviously, the period with COVID hitting the team, both on the player level and also on the coaching level, like, that was really bad. And then they had the 1-14 month. How did that affect, like, your storytelling? Like, was it sort of difficult to sort of because every episode you guys put out has a bit of a narrative to it, and sort of like you're not just showing us the game, you're also showing us a storyline, sort of the moods around the team, things like that. Did that part ever get difficult just because some of those months were truly dark?
Well, so basically for on a game day, typically like Jeff is responsible for creating like the storyline of the episode. So he and there's always kind of something happening. So he basically sent like a shot list of the day of like what the focus was going to be. So we would be focusing on, you know, like whoever was our guy for an episode. So say it was like Freddie, then I'd be like focusing more on him. So the story kind of told itself a lot of the times, like, all those moments that happen, whether or not it's like the trade deadline or what you were just talking about, I would know that that would be a big part of like the story for the upcoming episode. And Jeff would have his list of like what he'd want me to kind of cover. So he was really the one that would, create the story out like per episode. And then I just kind of, just follow his role most of the times and try to cover whatever he would have, and then whatever else would happen. So when stuff was happening that like he might not know about because he's not there, then I'd be basically capturing that and then letting him know like, hey, this is what's going on right now, and like this might be cool. So there'd be lots of things would pop up. But there was a point in the season where it's like, okay, like we're starting to get a little thin, and like how are we gonna end this? And then just things would always happen, and then like once you would kind of talk about it and then figure out, and Jeff's piecing like the kind of as the season goes and near the end that, okay, we do have enough stuff to wrap this season up or like get an episode out of certain things. But there were some points where we were a little concerned, but something would always kind of happen. And then you get an episode like the one where the trade deadline happened and it was just, it was packed.
Right. Of course.
It could have been two episodes. Like even the women's broadcast could have been an episode on its own.
Right.
And it was a portion of an episode, which was also part of like a trade deadline. So it was just, that episode was definitely the busiest one. But the other thing is that like some of that stuff that was happening is if you put it in the following episode, then it's like a little dated. Mm-hmm. So
right.
You have to go back too far in time where we tried to keep things current.
Yeah, and that's always one of the most impressive things about the show is just like the undertaking. Obviously, tons of footage. The crew is rather small, and like you're putting out so much content weekly, and you want it to be like up to date in terms of relevancy and things like that. So that's really impressive. And you know, the trade deadline. I mean, I think one of the really cool things about Open Gym is sort of like you got to see and get to know the players on a more intimate level than you ever would from like reading about them in a feature or watching them in a post-game interview and things like that. Like you guys really get that sense. And of course, you know, you were physically there in that hotel room, you know, seeing Norm and I believe he came into practice that day and then he was informed of the deal that he was leaving to Portland and him, you know, you were there also capturing his goodbyes to the team and things like that. Take us through that day of the trade deadline. Cause that was obviously just such a surreal day. Especially because the night before it was so happy, right? Like with the women's broadcast, with a really good win over a really good Denver team, everybody played well. And then the next day it was just so hectic. So take us through the trade deadline day.
That was a really busy day. So basically I was in Masai's room covering the trade deadline with upper management. And so that was basically like a, I don't know, about three hours of shooting in there. And finding out about the news. And it just felt like a day that kind of didn't end when you look back on it. And I was in the gym later on in the day and I saw Ray Chow and he's like, hey, like Norm's downstairs with the guys. I was like, what? And it was in a different part of the hotel. So there was a testing room that was in the other Marriott across the street, and that's where the guys were. And I was in the other side of the building in the practice facility. So I ended up going down there, bring my camera, and that's when everything was happening. And I was right. like, wow, this is, it was just like the right place at the right time, because the I didn't have a reason to go COVID test. It was like, I give Ray all the credit for that. And that moment was just wild, seeing all the guys basically that had been traded, and
right.
especially like Norm and knowing him for so long, and just seeing those moments that were just so raw and pure. It was it felt a little bit like the Rudy trade being in the locker room when right. we saw that happen years ago, and just the emotion involved, and it really was wild. And it's kind of a, sometimes you see those moments and I'm like, man, is this something that like Norm really wants me to be shooting right now? So really I just try to like back off a bit and put a longer lens on so I can like appear closer, mm-hmm. but I'm kind of far away, and just give them their space and let them do their thing. But there's some of that stuff I didn't shoot, and then but the majority I did, and it was cool to have that in an episode and like let people see like what really happens and how connected these guys really are. And then after that, Norm kind of did another round of going to see people, and he saw I think he saw where he saw Masai and Bobby later on, and he was actually working out. And that was after the trade. So he asked if he could work out. And I was this is wild. And he went in the gym and he worked out. I'm like, that was another cool moment where like, it's something that I wouldn't have probably seen if that was happening in Toronto. And like, if everyone wasn't together, because he would have probably just been at his place at home. And then I think that night after that, Kyle was working out in the gym, and I asked him, I'm like, do you mind if I film you? And he's like, yeah, no problem. So I got him working out. And just after shooting that, just kind of sat down. I was like, wow, I can't believe like this day was just so much happened in this one day. It was it was exhausting, but I knew what we had was something really special.
Yeah, for sure. And those, I mean, you mentioned the Rudy trade, which was such an emotional episode. And it was one of the most, I guess, like referred to episodes of Open Gym back in 2013. And even, I think that, especially with something like trades, I think that's one of the most difficult parts of the job, because, you know, these are young men mostly that you're bringing into the organization. You're seeing them grow, right? Norm's case reminded me a lot of like when JV was traded. I think you guys had cameras there too. I believe that was on the road in Atlanta, but you guys were able to capture JV, I think, going into the team bus and saying goodbye to his teammates. And I think DeLon also as well. These are people that the Raptors like drafted as kids, 18, 19, 20 years old, seeing them grow. And especially for you, even for you, like, you know, you were able to shoot all these moments. Like how many hours of footage do you think you have of Norman Powell in Open Gym, right? And it must be so surreal to get that, like that part of it at the end. You know, it's just, I'm sure in some sense it's devastating, but it's also really rewarding from a work perspective to be able to build that relationship to the point where you can be in such a sensitive moment and have that trust with the player to capture it.
Absolutely. It's a tough moment to shoot. And that first one was basically when we were in LA when that Rudy trade happened, and Jeff found out on the bus, and he just said to me, he's like, shoot everything. And I was like, okay. So, you know, having a producer with you is awesome. And it just allows you to be so much more organized and get so much more stuff. But like, that's kind of what happened in that moment. And you go to work, but being in those moments and having those connections with those guys, and like you said, like letting them shoot you, and it can't be comfortable, because I put myself in their shoes and I'm like, man, I don't know if I would want this. And then, I'll see it and I'll be like, you know, that it's probably like people's wedding days where the whole day just like zips by, and that's why you get photos and video of your wedding day. And like, that's totally different, but it's probably a day that like you, it's just such a whirlwind that like, maybe it is nice for some of the guys to look back and be like, oh wow, that's exactly what happened in that moment. And like who you said bye to and like what happened. And just like shooting with Norm when he was working out, I'm like, wow, this is like, he's still got his Raptors gear on.
Yeah.
And putting up shots. And this is like, this is the last moment that I'm going to get to do this with him in this. And it was cool because it was just like, there were like three of us there.
Right.
And that's it. So yeah, they're tough. They're tough moments, really.
Yeah, for sure. Although it was kind of odd that Portland was in town like 2 days later. Like, I don't even think he left Orlando, or I guess I don't think he left Tampa. I think he just stayed and got his other gear on, unfortunately.
Yeah. And then I think Gary showed up that night with
Rodney.
Rodney, my bad. And he was so that was like a, it was like they showed up at like midnight or something. And I'm like, all right, here we go. So shooting them coming in, and Gary wanted to work out. So off we went, and Jim San was up there, and he worked him out. And I shot a few minutes of that, and I was pretty exhausted. It was cool. But like, you want to be there from my end, you want to be there when the guys get there. So like,
of course,
they immediately see that there's a camera like the second you get here. And like, this is kind of what, like not eased into it, just here we are, and like, let's go. And that's what we've always done the past, where we're at airports waiting for guys, or whether we're in Vegas and summer league and we're picking guys up at the airport with whoever from the team is picking them up, and we tag along. So you want to get to the guys right away.
Yeah, for sure. How often are you shooting at like odd hours? It feels like NBA players love like working out at like 2 a.m. for no reason.
Yeah. It actually isn't that often. Like that was an extreme case of starting fairly early and like having to shoot like really late at night. But there aren't a lot of those situations where I'm like showing up super late, trying to cover guys' practice. So, which is cool.
You're thankful there's no Jimmy Butler activity. No, like 3 a.m. come to the gym. You got to text. You got to run with all your gear. I want to ask you about, in terms of a day like the trade deadline, for example, obviously, like, as you mentioned, you're in that room with the front office and they're fielding calls, I'm sure. Like, how much of that sensitive information, like, how does that work? Because obviously you can't put all of that out there. As much as we, as fans, you know, I would love to just see the whole reel of 3 hours and what they did and the calls and things like that. How does that sort of sensitive information get filtered and sort of handled in terms of like, what's the approval process and things like that? Because you guys do a really good job of showing us like a lot, but also not like trying to expose anybody.
Right. So there's multiple steps of approval. So basically Jeff would filter through all the footage and go through it and then make his selects as to what will be in the episode. And then basically the team will have final say as to like what goes out. So there'll be edits of certain things that might be too sensitive, but you know, we're trying to push a little bit too sometimes and maybe put a little extra out. But like, it's always, the team always has a final say as to like what gets out. So that's like, whether it's PR or management, depending on what it is. So that would have been an episode where it would have gone pretty high up the chain for the approvals. So I just think it's cool that we have, like, I'm able to be in there and
of course
shoot those moments, because someone like Masai has always been comfortable with us being around, and he knows like our best interest isn't to put stuff out that he wouldn't want us to put out. And the trust over the years has grown, and it's just not something I feel like you get to see too often. So like, I guess it's only once a year, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and you guys are there like draft night too. I feel like draft night is always a really nice moment for Open Gym, because you know, you get to be in there in either, I think last year it was at OVO and you got to hear them on the phone and sort of, you know, getting their first contact of like, you know, welcome to the team Malachi, or a few years ago with other players and things like that. I remember a call with OG and stuff like that. So no, it's really cool. It's really cool. And I look forward to what you guys are doing with draft day this year, obviously with the Raptors having a much higher pick than ever before. I want to talk about the players as well. You know, was there sort of one player this season that you didn't get a full chance to feature or spotlight in the full entire episode that, that you would like to going forward?
I think like as much Freddie as we could get would be amazing because he just has such a great energy and I love being around him. We had stuff that we had lined up this year that we were gonna try to do. So basically there were certain things at the beginning of the year. It's like, here's kind of a wish list of stuff that we'd like to eventually do. And one of them was a shoot with Fred and his family. They had a trampoline at their place and I was like, that's awesome. Like I'd love to come over there and film with you doing front flips. No, he wouldn't do that, but just film up the kids and stuff and do like an interview regarding that. And it was just one of those things that we just weren't able to get to. So so that's something that's now it's like, okay, well, we'll get to something like that, hopefully. But yeah, so just, but yeah, a lot more Freddie.
More Freddie. No, Freddie, listen, Freddie is perfect for the camera. You know this. You absolutely know this. It's like every single time he's on, there's a memeable social moment or something like that. And yeah, he's just got one of those personalities. Yeah, and I think what was really cool was like, you know, you guys get that sort of up close sort of look. I think like at least once per year, you kind of get these moments. I remember a few seasons ago, you guys got to, you know, go inside, you know, Fred's house and sort of see Fred like interacting with his kids and sort of like Fred being a father. And, you know, I think a few years ago, one of the most memorable episodes I can remember is with CJ Miles and the birth of his daughter. That was just incredible. So touching. And even this year, like obviously level of access, you know, manpower wasn't exactly the same, but you know, at the end of the season, you get to go with Kyle to his house, sort of get a sense of what his game day routine is like, hop in that. What was Kyle driving this year, man? I mean, Kyle and Fred really stepped up their car game this year, by the way.
Yeah, they sure did.
So, no, it's cool, though. Like, you guys had always bring us, like, that inside look in terms of, like, what these people are like as people, not just as players, right? Because I think we kind of understand what they're like as players. We can see it right there. But getting to know sort of, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff is, like, obviously by far the biggest benefit of Open Gym, so...
For sure.
Yeah. I want to ask you a few more questions before we go. Again, you've been really generous with your time and things like that. What would you miss most about Norm? Because I think I asked, you know, Landicio about this like a few years ago. I think this is after JV got moved and asked him about some favorite JV moments. JV obviously was a huge character. Norm, maybe not as big of a character, but obviously a guy who's been here a long time. Is there something you'll miss the most about Norm?
Norm was awesome to shoot. He never gave us any problems. Like he was always cool to do like anything we needed, whether it was like a sit down or just anything he was covering. Like we'd go with him when we were at Summer League to his like personal workouts in Vegas. And it was like, he just got it. He got what we were trying to do and he was okay with it, but he was just like a really just, sweet guy that like everyone got along with, and he was really good to us. So like, just I guess the thing that I've missed most about him is his just like the friendship that grew there, because he was one of those guys that we had from the beginning as well.
Mm-hmm. Wanted to ask you about this specific season. What was your favorite moment that you were able to capture in terms of, I don't know, you just felt the most satisfaction of like, oh, I got that.
It definitely was the trade deadline was by far the most satisfying thing. Another thing would have been being with Kyle at the end of the season, because we really kind of tried to, you know, leave him alone as much as possible. But then at the end of the season, we really kind of, I guess, picked it up, and it was just being around his place and seeing his kids with being in class and just Kyle being around them, just as a dad, watching the way he operates. He's a really inspiring guy, and someone that, like, a lot of us, even though you're older than him, you look up to the way he does things. It's pretty cool to see.
Right. No, that's awesome. In terms of the future with the show, hopefully, obviously, the team is back safe and healthy and in Toronto for next season. What's your future plans with the show? Like, obviously, you guys have such a good thing going on. Like, everyone knows exactly what Open Gym is every single time. You know, we get that YouTube notification that, like, okay, you know, the new episode dropped. Stop everything. Let's go watch it. Like, how do you and Jeff can, like, plan to keep growing the show?
Well, you always want to grow it. You always want to make it better. I feel like with the bubble and Tampa, we got a lot closer than ever before in certain situations. So just kind of basically hope to build on all those relationships, whether it's with, like, players or staff, to just get a closer look. There's so many things that you could touch on that could become be part of that episode. I feel like we just, like, scratched the surface, to be honest, and improving. Like, for me, I always want to shoot better. So if you're asking me that, it's like, I want this next season to look better than the last season. And I want it to sound better than it sounded last season, or, like, add new elements that we've never done before, whether it's with, like, visually or through sound, to just give people a better experience and just do something else that, right, that maybe hasn't been done before. So just always try to grow.
To that point, how often are people from other teams sort of coming up to you and Jeff and trying to ask for advice? Because I feel like other teams are starting to really, I mean, you guys have been doing this 8-9 years, I think. How many years?
This is the 10th season coming up.
Oh man. So there you go. Right. So 10 seasons, right? So you guys were, like, really, like, day ones on this. Like, how often do you have other people from other teams, like, come up to you and sort of ask for advice on how to launch something like this, to have something like this? Because this is obviously super cool.
Absolutely. A lot of other teams have gotten in contact with us, or, like, Jeff is the one that usually would talk to them and give them an idea of how, like, startup works and, like, what, like basically relationships and how to get close, and, like, the way that we operate. He would basically deal with them. But like this past season, every time whoever was doing social for the other team would come in, I'd try to make sure I met them and give them the lay of the land as to, like, where they can shoot from, where a fast internet connection is, so it would be as easy as possible. Because I go into other arenas and you're going in blind sometimes, not knowing, because you've never done a lot of this stuff before. As to, like, where can I find fast internet? And sometimes I'd be searching for a half hour and I'm like, Jeff, I don't know if you're going to get anything, because I'm like, I can't find anything right now. Right. And then I always want people to have, like, a smooth experience. So I was able to meet majority of the people this year, and that was really cool to kind of see how they operate and what type of equipment they were using and get to kind of keep an eye on them. And see what's going on there too. But it's definitely interesting to see how all the other teams do things, because everyone does stuff, like, a little bit different, or their responsibilities that they have were different than mine.
Right, for sure. And then last question to get you out on the championship. We always have to go back to the championship. I feel like I don't care if Masai said that the championship is, you know, a few years ago now. We still remember it. We still remember it very fondly. Take us back to, like, the championship day, like, that night. In the locker room, everything like that. Where were you? What were you shooting? What sticks out from a memory? give us just lots of good vibes to end off on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it was it was wild because we weren't sure that we were gonna win, and we were doing things to prepare for if we did win, which was we had like plastic bags that were gonna go on the camera and just to protect it just in case. And we're like, oh, I don't know if I want to put this in my pocket right now. This might be bad luck. And it's like, well, I need to do this. And then kind of work my way down right near the end of the game. And it was a moment that was really cool, but it also wasn't a moment where I was able to like it was work.
Right. And right, for sure.
I knew I had to just really get dialed in and cover as much stuff as possible, find all like the major players as fast as I could and just gather. So I had a GoPro mounted on my camera for a second angle, and then my camera, we had another cinematographer there as well, and we ended up I just ended up running out on the court, and you had to have a special like, wristband, which luckily I had,
right.
And that PR would have given to me, and just kind of run around like crazy. And there was like certain moments where I was like, oh man, this is so amazing seeing what's happening. And then it's like, okay, now I get to the locker room. And then I walked in the locker room. It's just like, whoa, this is crazy.
Yeah. This is so new.
And I filmed with my camera for a minute and I was like, this is not good for the camera. So then I just had to put that down for a little bit and then took a GoPro and I was just kind of running around. There's lots of shots where you see me just standing with goggles and a fluorescent yellow bib, just holding this in the middle of everything. I'm like, okay, now this is pretty cool. And then after a little bit, then I grabbed my other camera and just got back to work. But that was when it was like, you really kind of felt like you were a part of it, but everything on court was just, it was crazy because certain people were telling you, oh, you can't go here.
Yeah.
You can do this. And like, you couldn't. So you're just kind of maneuvering, trying to get as much stuff as possible, but it was amazing. It was so, so wild to be a part of that moment and just see that everything, all that work. And it just felt like for us, it's like, wow, this is where you want to be. This is it. Like, this is the pinnacle. We're here. Like this is really wild. And, that was a moment where you actually really got to see Landicho smile.
It's rare, but it happens, yeah. Man. Yeah. No, yeah. It's awesome, man. I don't know what like what your specific history as a Raptor fan was, but I'm sure like part of you, especially honestly, probably a big part of you is probably a fan of just the people because you've been around them so much, right? You know everybody.
Absolutely.
And, so when that moment's happening, when there's like 0.9 seconds on the clock and you got a chance to sort of like, oh my God, there's like pretty much no way that the Warriors are going to tie this and force game seven. Like it's ours, right? You got that extended moment where you get to like really soak it in. And like, yeah, I don't know. It was surreal. Like it's weird because like as a fellow content creator, I was like, man, like I'm really going to cover the Raptors winning the championship. Like, what am I doing here? Like, I don't have like a precedent. Like, I don't know what's supposed to happen. You just kind of go with the flow most of the time, right? Because you're gonna have
exactly.
To.
Yep. And in that moment, I was like courtside behind a bunch of people, and there's all these feet and legs in the way. I'm like, oh, move! Like I can't see anything, and you're just trying to get a shot. And I was like, I didn't really like. You're just so focused on trying to get something at that point that I didn't really have that moment. But it was awesome. Yeah.
That's what the parade was for. I guess you guys were shooting the parade as well. Do you guys run out of memory space? Like considering the parade was like 15 hours.
Yeah. I think at one point at night, it's like, oh, the camera's dead.
I mean, you guys probably didn't expect it 9 hours. To go. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So
no, it went like way longer than anticipated. And just being out, that was also a really, really interesting. It was an amazing experience for sure.
Yeah. Which float were you on?
I was with Kyle and Kawhi. So
the big one.
Yeah,
with Drake as well. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. He was there. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So you got to have a couple of beers at least.
No, I just stayed focused on work that day.
There you go. all right, Jeff. This is amazing. You know, thank you for everything you do. Obviously, with Open Gym, both you and the other Jeff. And yeah, no, seriously, thank you. Is there anything else you would like to leave off on, sign off on, or anything like that?
I'm pretty good. Like, yeah, I'm good, man.
Watch Open Gym. Go back and watch Open Gym in the off season. It's a great time to sort of like look back on sort of a storyline. Honestly, like I was watching, like it was a weird thing. When I was in Oakland, because there's so much off time, like between games and stuff like that, like you just there all the time. Like I was watching like old episodes of Open Gym for some reason, and I was like cycling through like 2017 footage, stuff like that. And it holds up. It really holds up, you know. So that's my advice. Rewatch the old Open Gym. So
I'm with you on that. Watch it again and again and again.
Yeah, there you go. So, all right, Jeff Rocky, thank you so much for your time. And listeners, I'll be back with the podcast later this week.
All right, cool. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, for sure.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.